I'm Lisa, I'm an addict. I'm going to set a timer because, you know, talk. So I'm just going to set the timer. So I am a grateful member of the Made a Decision Home Group in Toccoa, Georgia, United States of America. I just moved there in March. Before that, I had most of my recovery in Florida, which if you want to visit, that's where you want to go. So this is about celebrate the promise of freedom. And our literature tells us that our promise is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to life. That's our promise. And that's where the freedom's from. And so when I thought about the topic, I thought, that's everything I need, right? Oh, good. So this goes off every 5 seconds. So somebody just tell me when it's been 30 minutes. So the first part, right, that I could stop using. That's what you promised when I walked in these doors. Any addict could stop using. Not me, but the rest of you, but okay. I'll keep coming back. And so the freedom from that, as I learned later through recovery, is that compulsion. You said I had obsessive compulsive disorder, right? Or somebody said it. So that compulsion to use, that was my like having to use. And when this addict no longer used every day, there was freedom there. Freedom to wake up in a place I remembered being at the night before. Alone. Right? Freedom. Just me. Freedom to wake up and not be sick. Right? Freedom to wake up and not be drenched in sweat. Right? Just that freedom to not use, to sit somewhere and not go, where is the next one coming from? So just that part of the promise was freedom for me. Right? That freedom to not use another day was magic for me. Then it said I could lose the desire to use. Well, that was that obsession part, because that thought of using didn't go away when I stopped putting drugs in my body, right? And it wasn't just the using. It was all that other addict behavior. Because when I first was introduced to the first step that says, you know, we are powerless over our addiction, that's not what I heard. It's what you said. It's what I read. But I heard I'm powerless over drugs. That's what I heard. So my first part of my recovery was all about not using drugs. I didn't get that addiction is more than drugs. And if you haven't got that yet, that's why you're still struggling. Addiction is more than drugs. Addiction is a lifestyle. It's a behavior. It's all of that madness that surrounds our using. And until I could lose that, the drugs was still an obsession, right? So once I finally realized that I was powerless over addiction and not drugs, I could start moving forward in the program. And that freedom from the obsession, the sit there and not be high and not think about getting high, that was a new level of freedom for me. And I don't even know when it happened. I just realized one day I didn't feel like using anymore. I didn't even want to. And I've recently moved to small town. And I'm from a city. Tampa's a big city. And I recently moved to a small town called Toccoa, which you've never heard of because it's this big. Like, that's how big it is. And there's not a lot of real recovery there. And so it was difficult to hear these folks in meetings say, yeah, I've been clean for a year, but I want to use every day. You shouldn't, though. Yeah, you shouldn't, though. And if you've been clean for a year and you still want to use every day, do you have a sponsor? Are you working steps? Are you doing the program? Because you will lose that desire to use if you follow our program, and there's a freedom from obsession that comes with that. So when I hear somebody say, yeah, this is my first year, but I think about using every day, we can help with that. Let us help you, because there's a freedom that we promise will come with not having that obsession to use every day. And then the third part was find a new way of life. I'm going to talk slower. But I'm going to stop at 30 minutes. But we're getting to the good part anyway, right? I was also a school teacher for a long time, so I had 50 minutes to get that whole lesson in. So I learned how to make that happen. So the find a new way of life part, that's the steps, right? And I'm fortunate that I first got clean. So let's qualify what that means. I got clean. I stopped using drugs with the help of an ambulance and a few other medical personnel in February. My clean date is in October. So where I first got clean is not where I first started working a program, right? So my clean date is in October, October 4th, 1986. But I am one of those people that didn't get this. Remember what I said? I thought I had a problem with drugs. I didn't. I had a problem with addiction. Drugs is a part of addiction. Addiction can be drugs, it can be food, it can be men, it can be shopping, it can be gambling. Addiction was my problem. So when I stopped trying to just treat my drug problem, realized I had an addiction problem to work on, my life got better and the freedom came. So that find a new way of life part, that's through the steps. Remember I said I moved to Toccoa, this big? I thought I had left big city Tampa, lots of recovery, to small town Toccoa, where my second meeting there, they said, you don't have to work steps as long as you stay clean just for today, you're fine. I have a year clean and I want to use every day. I'm like, that's the problem. The freedom for that new way of life is the steps. And things are getting better in Toccoa, I'm happy to say, because they're getting sponsors. We actually ran out of step working guides at the last area service. So, I have hope. But for my story, that first step I finally figured out, right? My problem was addiction. It wasn't drugs, so the freedom was losing the obsession. Well, then we got to step two, right? I skipped a lot of steps that said God because I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God, which is another reason I got clean in February, but my clean date is October, because you wanted me to believe in God. It's not what you said, it's what I heard, right? You didn't say drugs, you said addiction. I heard drugs. Now, God is in the steps, God is in the literature, and your God is your God, and I honor that. But they didn't honor the fact that I was an atheist. They kept telling me I needed God to stay clean. I've been clean for 38 years. If you're an atheist, recovery is possible for you. However, not having a higher power probably won't work, and I had to figure that out because I thought higher power meant God, and I couldn't stay clean. Because I went from step one to step four, not a good idea. Because I immediately said, I can't use drugs anymore, let's look at what a piece of shit I am, and go from there. And I couldn't stay clean. There was no freedom at looking at my past with no basis in the fact that there's a power greater than me that could make that person go away. So I finally was able to find, with the help of a sponsor, which is a much longer meeting, how I could find a higher power that wasn't God that would work for me. And at first it was GOD, right, group of drug addicts. It was you guys. It was at GOD in the meeting, that group of drug addicts. Because if I'm sitting in a meeting listening to you, I'm not getting high. And if I'm really listening, I'm learning how to not get high later. So that helped me. So I had to go back and believe that whatever that power greater than myself was, it would make things better. I had to come to believe that. And I don't know when that happened, but at some point I realized it had, and there was some freedom there because this program was gonna work for me, and I didn't think it would because I didn't have your God. And I moved to small town Toccoa that not only said I needed God, but I needed to accept Jesus Christ as my savior. And I thought to myself, I have left a loving NA community and I'm here now and this isn't gonna work for me. But because I'm not a newcomer and didn't run away, and please, our atmosphere of recovery is important to that newcomer that doesn't have the strength to say, you can stay clean this way, because I did it. Because if I had been a newcomer, I would not have come back to Narcotics Anonymous after that meeting. So please recognize the atmosphere of recovery is important. And if you have time and you hear something in a meeting that isn't right, stand up for the newcomer who's not ready to stand up for themselves and hear a clear NA message in a meeting. So once I finally came to believe, now it's time to turn my will and my life over to this God I don't believe in, because I'm still working it out. But I had a sponsor who said, all you need to know is that anything that happens to you, you can get through clean. Whether you think God's taking care of it, your higher power's taking care of it, that's all that means. You do the step work, but the results are not up to you. The results are up to your higher power, whatever that is. And what I had to learn was those results may not be what I want, right? I don't pray for unicorns and rainbows because they may not come. I just pray that I'll be okay. And my big third step story for that freedom in my life is when my 13-year-old son ran away from home. And I had to sit by the phone and wait for a call. While everybody in NA is out looking for my son and all of Hillsborough County is out looking for my son, I couldn't do anything but sit on a couch after I gave the sheriff the name of my son's dentist in case they needed to identify a body by dental records, which is a hard thing for a mother to do. I had to sit on a couch. And what got me through that wasn't asking my higher power for my son to come home safe, because I don't believe in a God that makes that happen. My higher power doesn't make things happen. My higher power changes me. And all I sat and asked my higher power, whatever happens, help me get through this clean. And my son came home, healthy and safe. But I didn't ask for that. And had he not, it would have been hard. But I know my higher power would have gotten me through that clean. And that is a freedom that this atheist didn't think was possible when I first came into the program. So whatever your higher power, I believe the higher power changes me, and pray for whatever you need to pray for. But for me, it's just that I'm going to make it through this okay. And so far it has worked. And that's the freedom I got from steps 2 and 3. Step 4 was the book report. I told you I was a teacher, right? Step 4 was the book report of my life. And I thought I could write it, give it to my sponsor, have it graded, get it back to me. And not how that worked. So for my 4-step, and they say there's no wrong way to do a 4-step, but to delay doing a 4-step. Now we have workbooks and how and why books. And when I did a 4-step, when I got clean, we didn't have written steps. Our sponsors passed around handwritten steps, and you only got the first 4. Because after the 4-step, everything else you just did verbally. You made a list. There weren't questions. So I've done several 4-steps, but the one that made sense to me was do an inventory. She said, if you work somewhere and you're doing an inventory, you're looking at what's there, and you're deciding, do I keep this, or is this something I'm ready to get rid of? Is this outdated? She said, and then we're going to look at those things you're ready to get rid of, and we're going to do that in a 6 and 7 step. I was like, okay. So I did that. Like, this is what I'm saying. And the magic of that was, as I sat down, and for some reason, it just didn't, it seemed like a book report, like a news report. Like, this happened, and I did this, and this happened to me, and this happened to me. And then it was time to share this with my sponsor, because she wouldn't let me hand it in. I had to sit. We made appointments, and we sat, and we went over it. And the magic of that, if you're not there yet, and you're still afraid of your 4-step, there's nothing to be afraid of. You already did all that shit, man. You already did it. All you have to do is face it. And that's where the freedom is facing it and realizing, look, you survived that. Whether it was your fault or not, and if it was your fault, there's another step. And if it wasn't, then there's forgiveness, which is also for you, not for them. But there's freedom that comes out of that. And if you hide from your 4-step, my sponsor said I could write things I didn't have to tell her because she knew I would tell her. But the point is to be searching and fearless, because if you hide stuff from yourself, it will come up later, and you will face it later. So you're just delaying it. And that did happen to me. And I don't think it's stuff I hid. I think it was stuff that was hidden, you know, in the back of that shelf, because my higher power knew I wasn't ready yet. But when I was ready, that stuff came to light. And that's okay, because I was ready now. But I don't have to be afraid, because it's freedom that comes from that. And what my sponsor was able to do for me as I shared this with her was find my patterns. I didn't realize I had all those patterns. And I'd be sharing something, and she had me write margins. I'd read something, and she'd go, that was your ego. I'm like, I don't have ego. She said, just write it down. Ego. And I'd share something, and she'd go, "You're people-pleasing." I'm like, "But I want people to like me." She goes, "Yes, write that down." And that's fear. And so she was identifying my character defects for me. And ego would come up again, and she's like, "Do you see?" I'm like, "No, but if you say, I'll write it down." And as we're going through this, she would tell me, "That happened again. Remember you said this." And I had remembered, but I hadn't made the connection. So the freedom that came from my fifth step was finding patterns. Because until I found patterns, I didn't know what to work on. Because some of those patterns I needed to break, or I wasn't going to be a new person, and I didn't want to be the same person. So I had to find the patterns. And I wrote the thing, and I didn't see the patterns. So the freedom of the fifth step from me was finding patterns and finding defects. Because as I listed them, as I went through, we were doing my sixth step. We were writing my assets and my defects, at least getting it started. So the freedom for me in steps 4 and 5 is facing my past and realizing I had come through that. And like many of us, there was abuse in my past that wasn't my fault, but I have to deal with. The only way I could deal with that was forgiving an abuser, because hating an abuser doesn't free me. And forgiving an abuser doesn't free them, but forgiving an abuser frees me. So if you're sitting there with that sexual abuse, that domestic abuse, that when you think of it, it's still hard and it still brings anguish. That may never go away, but if you're still mad and hateful, there's something you can do about that. Because I don't have room for mad and hateful in my life. And forgiveness isn't that hard when I realize that it frees me from mad and hate. And forgiveness is a tool that gives me a lot of freedom today. So through my fifth step, I identified a sixth step. Now, it wasn't complete. I still had to go add to that. But the freedom for me from a sixth step was realizing here's some defects I need to work on. Ego apparently was one of them. And people pleasing. And it took me a while to get rid of that one because I want you to like me. But I have learned that no is a complete sentence, and not just to a guy, but to, can you do this for me? Can you lend me this? Can you make that happen? Forever, that was yes. Right, and I was a service junkie. Well, I'm still a service junkie, right? I moved to my new area in March, and I am currently the literature chair of my area, and I have a home group that I share every week. But I need service, and my sponsees need to do service. Because if you guys weren't doing service when I got here, the doors might not have been open that day. I really needed a meeting. So my sponsees need to do service, but that is not what this is about. So I found through 6 and 7, well, first of all, I have a little bit of a sarcastic wit. You guys don't know me well enough to know that, but I listed that as an asset on my list. My sponsor disagreed. So I thought I should have a new sponsor who knew things better than she did. However, she's been my sponsor for over 30 years, and she's done a fine job. However, I have to learn when my sarcasm can be an asset, when it can't. And it depends on the motive that I use it, because it could be sharp. And then I have to do a 10 step, but we're not there yet. So I made my list. And I don't know about in Europe, but I know in the States, and if you're from the States, we have this debate about a character defect versus a shortcoming. They're two words for the same thing. No, they're not. One means one. One means the other. Yes, they do. And who cares? It doesn't matter. And it's your program. And do what? So what I heard, which made sense to me, use it or don't, was if I have a car with a flat tire, my car has a defect. If I drive a car with a flat tire, that's a shortcoming. A shortcoming is when I act out on a defect. If I have a character defect, it's a defect, right? It's when I act on it that's the problem. For me, the one that was the biggest problem was dishonesty. I lied to you. I stole your shit. When I was in college, my meal card, I could jimmy into your room when you weren't home and take stuff. I wasn't proud of that. I hated that part of me. Dishonesty is a character defect I still have. But I don't steal today. That's a shortcoming I don't have. And I don't lie as much today. And that's a shortcoming I'm working on and is getting better. So that's how it works for me. Dishonesty will never go away. I could pull that out in a heartbeat. And I don't necessarily trust everyone because I know I have it. Like, I know where my bag is all the time. And we were at a Kinderdijk, and my friend is on a scooter, and she let me leave her bag on the scooter, and I wanted to go up in the windmill. She goes, oh, just leave it there. I'm like, uh-uh. Saw all these people, uh-uh. And I was like, I have a sweater in it, or whatever. Uh-uh. So I keep my stuff, because I was that person that would take your stuff. So I don't necessarily trust you. Sorry about it, but that's for me. So what I learned was, in the seventh step where it says we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings, to me, what that means for me today is that I remind myself every morning when I commune with my higher power, who for me lives within me. My higher power is that voice inside that says that's the wrong thing to do. You know, that's the right thing to do. So I do consciously contact, and we'll talk in the 11th step, but for me, for my higher power, it's every day when I'm like, I really don't need to do that on this character defect. I don't need to act out on this character defect. They're not going away for me. Humbly asking for them to be removed is to remind myself today to not act out on that one, right? I don't need to be sarcastic to everybody today. Yeah, I'm not going to steal today. I can stop asking for that one. That one I'm just not going to do. So for me, that's what it means to be removed. But I could pick that up at any time. And I know that. Remember that ego we talked about? I have to be careful with that one. And I see that in other people. And when I see that in other people, I know that's because it's coming up in me. And I need to tone that down. So I have that list and I know what to do with that. Then the freedom of my amends. I think for me, the amends step was scarier than the fourth step. I don't know why, it just was. So I made my list of amends that I had to make. And the important thing that I learned about amends is not to jump in and make them. I don't start at the top of the list and start calling people, sorry for all of that, but I'm clean now, you're welcome. For me, discussing with my sponsor how to make those amends was important. Because, remember I skipped from step one to step four because God doesn't work? So I skipped from one to four, and halfway through my fourth step, I wrote an amends letter to a good friend from college, and he never wrote back. I was crushed. Years later, I saw him at a reunion, and I had the nerve to ask him, so why didn't you at least just respond? And he said, what letter? He never got it. But since I didn't have second and third step under me and I didn't have a solid foundation, I let that hurt my feelings for a long time. So I wait and I make my amends. And if I can, I make them in person because then I know he heard me. And the freedom from that is that I've cleaned my side of the street. It doesn't mean they like me anymore. It doesn't mean they're going to forgive me because remember, forgiveness is my gift to myself, not my gift to you. If they don't forgive me, that's their hate and their mean, and they can have all that. I've done the best I can to clean my side of the street, and these steps are to free me. They don't have anything to do with you. So as long as I clean my side of the street, that's all that matters, because that's where my freedom comes from. If I have any regrets in NA, and I try not to, but it's the amends I made to my mother. Because my mother and I were estranged, my father died when I was still using, which is another story, but I was not friends with my mother. I know now she did the best she could with what she had, but at the time I didn't think she did a good job. But I was also tired of watching her kill herself. She was overweight, she smoked, she drank. Chain smoker, do you know this one? Light one cigarette from the other. Coughing all the time, but her lungs were fine according to her doctor. So I'm no doctor, but I can tell you what that sounds like to me. So I consciously decided, because I needed amends, I wasn't pleasant to her, especially in my addiction. I consciously decided I would wait till she died to make my amends at her grave, because I just didn't want to be in the same room with her. And that's what I did. And now I hear in the rooms how you guys have repaired your relationships with your parents, how you couldn't get along with your parents, and now you can. And I didn't give myself that opportunity, and that is the one regret I have in my program. So what I can do today is try to not give my children that relationship with their mother that I had with mine. And I take ownership of that relationship and what I did. So I can only share with you my story, and if that means something to you, if you have an amends you don't want to make because of whatever reason, you just remember what I said. And maybe it'll change your mind and maybe it won't. But I wish I had listened to the people that said I should make that amends, and I didn't. But most of my amends I have made, and there is a freedom that comes with that. So then I get to my 10th step, right? And the 10th step allows me to not have to go back and do 1 through 9 over and over and over. You know, I did them with each new sponsor, so I did them all, you know, 4, maybe 5 times. But now I just do 10, or 10, 11, and 12. But I recognize now, if I've done something, I make my amends right now. If I snapped off to you, I'm like, you know what, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And it's humbling when I was a high school chemistry teacher for over 20 years in the States. And sometimes a kid, a teenager taking chemistry, that doesn't want to be in chemistry, is not a pleasant kid. And sometimes I've had enough of you, and I might snap and say something unprofessional, and I will apologize to that kid. You know what? That wasn't professional. Your behaviors are not acceptable, but my response to them also was not acceptable, and I'm sorry. And I can do that to a teenage kid today in a chemistry classroom because of this program. Maybe they'll learn something, maybe they won't, but I took care of it for me. And it doesn't weigh on me what I said to that kid because I took care of it today, right? Now, I don't do that pamphlet. I don't go through all those questions. Do you know whichever one that is, IP, whatever, all those 10-step questions. I did it for like 3 nights. I'm like, not the rest of my life, no way. But I do it on the spot. So I know if I need to make amends, I do that. And I give myself credit for what I did right. You know, if I handled that situation particularly well, I'm going to go behind a door and go, I did that. Good for you, because that's not how I would have done it before. So I give myself that credit, because not everybody might not, you know? The freedom for 11 step. Remember how we started? Atheist, God doesn't exist. The freedom for me is that I do have that higher power, that quiet voice inside of me, which I love you when you tell me that's God speaking to me, and if you believe that, that's great. But for me, every morning, I now live on 6 acres, in Toccoa, Georgia, and I can look out at my trees and the birds, and we have groundhogs and chipmunks, and I connect to my higher power, and conscious contact. I say it out loud, so it's on my mind, and I'm conscious. You know, thank you for my day today. Thank you for the nature I can see every morning. Grant me patience, acceptance, and tolerance to deal with the day as it comes, and help me to remember I only have today to live once, and I don't need to waste it. I wasted so many days before. I need to remind myself every day that I only have today. And I don't want to waste today. That's why I don't want the regrets and I don't want to have the amends to make. I want to be free from all of that. And you promised me that freedom by finding a new way of life. And I found that new way of life in the steps. And now that 12th step is me being able to share that with you. Doing service, making sure groups in our area get their literature, making sure people in service without as much experience, maybe I can help with them without my ego going, wait, let me fix that. I know I'm just literature chair, but let me tell the RCM his job today. I can go to the RCM and say, we're not supposed to vote on that. We're voting on that to go in the car. We're not voting on the motion. And then let him do his job, you know, so that ego doesn't have to be in everybody's face. So I do my service and I share, because that freedom I have today, I want somebody else to find. I found it through the 12 steps, finding that new way of life you promised me when I got here, and I hope that you find it that way too. My name's Lisa. Thanks for letting me share.